You know, so this week, Ceci and me, last week, we watched a movie. We thought we'd give it a try. The new rendition of Exodus with the guy from Batman. Anyhow, we're watching it and we're like, whoa, that's not accurate. No, that's not accurate. And we were laughing because we were saying it was not accurate compared to the 1956 Charlton Heston version, which, much more accurate, but still wasn't in the Bible account. So they didn't get it right in 1956, and they way didn't get it right this time. Matter of fact, we couldn't even believe it. It was one of the worst movies we've seen. It was just so inaccurate. Some angry God and some man that did everything himself. But anyhow, just shows you that these people, they don't really know about God. And the question I had was, man, who is teaching these people about the Bible? It's so clear. Well, I answered the question myself by the time it came out of my mouth. Nobody. Nobody's teaching them. They don't have a teacher. But we do have a teacher. Today's message is being a good teacher. Being a good teacher. That's the title of the message. On this, the first day on Unleavened Bread, we are going to look at some qualities of a good teacher. And I assuredly say to you, a good teacher does not forget all the time. But the first thing is, you must have wisdom to be a teacher. And wisdom is hard to obtain. We all know the definition of wisdom versus knowledge. We all know there's a lot of people that have a great deal of knowledge stuffed in their head. And when you talk to them, you realize they have no wisdom. Please turn to Proverbs 4, verse 7. We'll start by looking up a proverb of Solomon that was recorded for us. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Proverbs 4, verse 7. And the beauty of this verse is it is so plain. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. I thought that the translation was some strange translation when I was reading it. But then it's the King James Version, the New King James Version. Very plain. And it begs the question, if Solomon wrote this, inspired by God, and he was a wise man, why did he have 1,000 wives? I don't understand that part. And, you know, someday we could understand it, but not too important. But that was definitely his downfall. But anyhow, so why are we here today? Why are we here today? Well, it's the Sabbath, right? Yes. But it's more than a Sabbath. It is a double Sabbath, a high holy day, a day to focus on the understanding of why God told us to remove leavening from our house. We are teaching. You've got to know it. God has told this to so many people over the years. Millions and millions of people at one time understood what we were doing, or a concept of what we were doing today, what we're doing. And how did they respond? Over the years, throughout the Bible, how did they respond? Well, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. What did they do? They killed the prophets. That's what they did. They killed God's prophets because they didn't want to know this. And they killed our Savior, which we understand that's prophecy and it had to happen, but that's their response. The world's wisdom is not wisdom. Now, what did Jesus Christ teach us that's new? Think about it. What did we learn from Jesus Christ that's brand new? Well, Passover, right? No. No, Passover was Passover. Passed over. That was in the Old Testament. Ten Commandments, right? He replaced all the Ten Commandments with two of them, right? Which the two are the ten. No, so Ten Commandments have been around since Adam and Eve. Okay? Not that. The kingdom of God, right? Well, no. We receive a tremendous amount of information in the Old Testament about why the Messiah was coming. So, from the Old Testament, we knew about these things. Certainly, what Christ did was arrive here and teach us. He taught us what we've been missing for many years. Jesus Christ came in the flesh to show us how to live and provide details. So, how are we to teach? We here today are all teachers. We're all teachers. We are light reflectors. You have to have a body that can reflect Jesus Christ. Every one of us has to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. It has to be natural inside of you, and it has to be an immediate response from you. Christ tells us what to do through us being here today, through our study, through our meditation. And we reflect Jesus Christ to the world without even talking. It's who we are. Can you be a teacher if you are distracted by the world? If the world has bit you, can you be a teacher? Simple answer, no, you cannot. I have taken time to say the things that have occurred to me this last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but in a summation, I have been pulled and distracted from my calling to God. And what happened? Things don't work the way you think they should when you're distracted by the world and the world and Satan. What's he want to do? He wants to distract you. He wants to knock you off the path. How effective of a teacher can you be if you're worried about what's going on in the world? If the little things of the world are biting at you, how can you be a teacher if you let them bother you? I have to say, the Bible is there to give us the encouragement of a lifetime. Turn to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Such powerful scripture and so few words, but such power. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 7. We'll pick it up in verse 6. So 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Question, does anyone on this planet care about you as much as Jesus the Christ cares about you? That's how much he loves us. We probably can't even fathom his love for us. So, what does he tell us to do? God the Father, my son, cast it on me. Bring it to me. Let me take care of it for you. And your cares should be removed from you. This world should be ripped from you, and you should be able to focus on what your calling is, and you are here to be a teacher. You learn, you understand, you know what to do, and the world sees you acting, sees the works that you do, and they love it because you're pure, you're good, you're an example, a reflection of Jesus the Christ. So finally, you have to arm yourself. You have to be armed. Learn how to teach. Learn what to teach. One of the greatest metaphors in the Bible is about teaching. It was I remember reading the scripture for the very first time and having it explained to me. It was in 2012. I was new to this congregation in this weird city called Harlingen. It took me a year to pronounce it. And I got this message, and Mr. Henderson was talking about the reigning and teaching. Deuteronomy 32, please. Deuteronomy 32. Not many things in life sink in the first time when I hear it. But this one, this one did. This one actually did. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. Let my teaching drop as the rain. My speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as shower on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. And I'll stop there. Imagine that. Do we all understand how important rain is? And do we all understand what happens when it rains too much? I remember a farmer, a rancher, told me he was so blessed. He got 7 inches of rain. He was so excited. And then he realized, no, he's not excited at all because he got 7 inches in 1 hour. What happened? It ran off. Useless. Can anyone learn by a fire hose to the face? Well, yeah, they learned to stay away from the fire hose. Rain, we all know rain. God uses metaphors that are so easy. Little children can understand it. What is the most beautiful thing? A gentle rain that absorbs into the ground and nurtures what it rains on. If it's sideways rain, it doesn't work. If it's straight down, heavy drops, it doesn't work. It runs off. It has to be a gentle rain. And I don't know about you, but I learned so much better with a gentle rain and a gentle, constant rain because things don't get soaked into my head right away. I need time to absorb it and to grow, let my roots grow deep and grow up. That's what a gentle rain does to us. So where do you start? I say, if you need a great place to start for anyone online, page 71. What does that mean? We have a booklet called The Fundamentals of the Church of God. Fundamentals. That's the definition, fundamental. Today, Holy Days. Holy Day is page 71. You want to know about the holy days? You want to know more in depth? Do you want to know the scripture that you need to memorize to defend yourself, to be a good teacher? Page 71, good start. If you don't have the book, the Church of God would be happy to send the book out. So, conclusion. Jesus Christ is the God of the Old Testament, and humans failed to learn what was being taught. He came in the flesh to personally teach those God brought to him. He gave us an instruction manual to go back to every single day so we can learn and be teachers. We can be a bright reflection of Christ who is perfect and who glorifies God the Father. We all have an opportunity to gain wisdom, real wisdom. We all face difficult battles. And we are attacked in different ways, but the action we must take is the same. We all must take the same approach once we're attacked. We must arm ourselves. Materials can help digest the wonderful teachings. As I mentioned, the Fundamental Beliefs of the Church of God booklet is a good start for anyone that wants to understand scriptural support for all of what we believe, the main fundamental beliefs of the church. So in conclusion, conclusion number two, today is the day of unleavened bread. We are here, examples to the world. They don't know anything what we're doing yet, but one day they will know. You guys met? You met? I never knew you met. We sure did. And we are here on the first day of Unleavened Bread.